Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today. Now that we've seen the Price Discovery Act make it out of the Senate Ag Committee, what's next? We check that in just a moment.
If you're looking to lock in a floor price on your livestock, USDA is offering the Livestock Risk Protection Program to both cow-calf and stocker feeder operators. Coverage is based on a number of head, sex, and projected sale weight. Best of all, no margin calls, brokerage fees, or minimum contract sizes, and no upfront cost to you. Take the risk out of your cattle operation today. Call Dakota Moss at Livestock Risk Services at 580-618-2174 or visit LivestockRiskServices.com for more information.
Hey, cattle producers, the next big event for Superior Livestock for their summer season, Week in the Rockies 34. It'll be happening the week of July 11th, the 11th through the 15th, this year in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Get more details by going to SuperiorLivestock.com or, as always, you can call them 1-800-422-2117. Remember, at Superior Livestock, we bring the market to you. Find out more at SuperiorLivestock.com. The Price Discovery and Transparency Act for the cattle markets passing the Senate Agriculture Committee with relative ease this last week. It was not a recorded vote, but two senators said, hey, count us as no votes. John Bozeman, the top Republican of the Senate Agriculture Committee from Arkansas, and Dr. Roger Marshall, the junior senator from the state of Kansas. According to Ethan Lane, the vice president for public policy, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, getting out of the Senate Agriculture Committee is the easy part. It's going to be a lot more difficult to try to get floor time in order to have this bill heard and possibly voted on.
You know, they're going to have to do some work to get there. There's going to be a lot of work before the U.S. Senate between now and August recess. And then when they get back from August recess, they're going to have to figure out how to keep the government funded. And then, of course, we've got a little election coming up in November that might be kind of impactful as well. So the calendar gets awfully tough. You know, I always remind people the most valuable commodity in Washington is Senate floor time. And that is certainly the case at the moment. So, you know, we'll see what happens from here. But as I said, I think there's going to be a lot of non-ag committee senators voicing some concerns about seeing this package move forward.
Are they going to be able to get much else done between now and going home to campaign for November?
Man, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, I think that they're looking for some ways to get a few things done. I don't think anybody believes they'll get through a full appropriations process this season. That just seems unreasonable given the time constraints and the political environment. You know, we're starting to see a little bit of elevated dialogue on the farm bill, but we won't really see that pick up until next year. So, it'll be interesting to see what they are able to really get done, if anything, here in the next few months. I mean, we're still in a highly partisan environment here in Washington, and that's never a good environment to try to get things done quickly under time pressure.
I know that clearly you're wanting your grassroots members, your state affiliate members, your NCBA members themselves, you want them all really engaged this political season. So much at stake as far as control of the Congress and a lot more.
This is crunch time. You know, we're seeing some real opportunities for pickups in congressional districts around the country. There's some really ag-friendly candidates out there that are on the campaign trail, that are talking to voters, talking to cattle producers, hearing input from the industry. That's great news. It's always exciting to think that we're going to have some more champions for agriculture and for the cattle business headed to Washington. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see just how much of a wave this election really is. Been in politics for a long time, and I don't know that I've ever seen a time with conditions quite as ripe for a pretty substantial flip in power up on Capitol Hill, but there's a long time till election day. So, you know, how these members on both sides of the aisle conduct themselves between now and then is going to be really important. Our producers voicing their opinions, you know, 4th of July parades, August recess, anytime those producers have the ability to get in front of those members and say, hey, this is what I need from you and this is what I don't, I hope they take advantage of that because those are the most important voices in this conversation are our producers out in the country communicating directly with their lawmakers.
One last question as far as the implications of the election. If we did see a flip, everybody talks about the House is likely to go Republican. Maybe in the Senate, that's a harder call, obviously. What would that mean as far as if we had the GOP back in charge of those Senate committees and House committees, ag as well as maybe environment as well?
Well, you know, I think that's a really good question, is what happens to some of these climate conversations? you know, there's very little that Congress is going to be able to do other than maybe exercise the purse strings on the regulatory agenda we're seeing from the Biden administration, whether that be the return of, you know, sort of onerous ESA rulemakings, or the return of National Environmental Policy Act regulations that are not favorable to cattle producers, things we worked really hard to peel back during the Trump administration. There's not a whole lot in a divided Capitol Hill and White House that Republican Congress can do, but they can work the purse strings. You know, they can start working their own bills. They can apply some pressure. And you know, nobody is better at that than Mitch McConnell. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do if he does regain control of the gavel over on the Senate side. I think it's, you know, as you say, pretty a safe bet that the Republicans will gain control of the House. And, you know, we've seen this before. We saw it in 2010 with the Tea Party wave. You know, you'll get all kinds. You'll get members that are coming to Washington to promote themselves. You'll get members that are coming to Washington to get something done. And you'll get members who didn't think they were going to win that take a little while to figure out what they want to do there. So, you know, we'll have a big job ahead of us educating those new members, helping them understand what the cattle industry needs, and figuring out just what this Congress does want to do once they take their seats in January. But I guarantee you this, it will look very different.
Head of the D.C. office for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Ethan Lane. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Farmers, throw a big curveball at wheat diseases they can't hit. Give them Green Hammer, an OSU variety marketed through Oklahoma Genetics. Key diseases such as leaf rust and stripe rust can't handle Green Hammer, and it offers one of the highest protein levels in the Great Plains with a top-tier test weight. Green Hammer also offers Hessian fly resistance, acid soil tolerance, and excellent grazability. It's also been recognized for excellent milling and baking quality by the Wheat Quality Council. Put the hammer down with Green Hammer. Check out OKGenetics.com.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.